Today's episode of Tech Talks on the Unsettled Media Podcast Network is brought to you by Tech Impact, focused on unlocking prosperity by embracing technology. For more, head to techimpact.it. Hello, listeners, and welcome to episode 6 of Tech Talks with Kathy Simpson on the Unsettled Media Podcast Network. Today's guest is Kendra McDonald. Kendra is the Chief Executive Officer of Canada's Oceans Supercluster. Tuning in all the way from St. John's, Newfoundland. Just a quick bit about the supercluster. There's two headlines on the About page on the website. It says Canada's Ocean Opportunity and Changing the Way Ocean Business is Done. And I'll read the headline at the top. Canada's Ocean Supercluster is an industry-led, transformative cluster model that is driving cross-sectoral collaboration, accelerating innovation, and growing Canada's ocean economy in a way that has never been done before. So what is Canada's Ocean Opportunity? And how do we change the way that ocean business is done? This is episode 6 of Tech Talks with Kathy Simpson, with the CEO of Canada's Ocean Supercluster, Kendra McDonald.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tech Talks with Kathy Simpson. I'm Kathy Simpson, the CEO of Tech Impact, and we're thrilled to have you and our growing audience as we continue to do our Tech Talks. This is episode number 6, and I'm really pleased today to have Kendra McDonald, the CEO of the Ocean Supercluster, as our guest. Welcome, Kendra.
Thanks so much.
Well, first, let's get started and give us a little bit of detail about yourself. I know you're from Newfoundland, and a little bit about what you're doing now, but also prior to joining the Ocean Supercluster, tell us a little bit about your career here in Atlantic Canada and globally, actually.
Sure. So Kendra McDonald, I am now the CEO of Canada's Ocean Supercluster, and I've been in that role actually for 2 years this week. It's my 2-year anniversary. I'm based in St. John's, Newfoundland, where I have been for 10 years. I actually grew up in Ontario. My mother is from Nova Scotia. My father is from Sault Ste. Marie, and we grew up in Ottawa. So I say I'm definitely Canadian, a little bit from all over, and I'm married to a Newfoundlander. So there you go. And I previously was with Deloitte. I was with Deloitte for almost 25 years, 12 years as a partner, 8 of those years in St. John's. Prior to that, I was in Montreal, and then, as you said, internationally in Hong Kong and Australia, and I actually started as a co-op student there in Ottawa 25 plus years ago. So, yeah.
So, big decision to leave Deloitte to take on the Ocean Supercluster. That must have been one that you took some time to consider.
I did. I did. My most recent role at Deloitte was as Chief Audit Executive for Deloitte Global. I've only been in that role for a couple of years, but the opportunity that the Ocean Supercluster represented for Atlantic Canada and the opportunity to make a difference on that journey was really compelling. So, yeah.
So, first of all, let's kind of start with, what is this supercluster strategy? There's multiple superclusters across the country. It's clearly a Canadian innovation strategy. So why don't you help our listeners? And we're going to start there.
Sure. So the supercluster program is sort of a Canadian solution. It's based on cluster theory. So there's lots of clusters around the world. And Canada really looked at what could it do differently to be able to change our reputation as an innovation nation. So maybe start there. Canada does not score well compared to other countries in terms of our innovation scorecard. And so we really had to do something differently. And so that led to the Supercluster initiative, which was actually a competitive application process. There were only almost 50 applications. And the principles are it's industry led. So each of the clusters that applied had to be able to demonstrate that industry was willing to invest. And it was really meant to invest in those areas of the Canadian economy where we thought we could be global leaders. And so that led to 5 superclusters across the country. So you have Digital, which is on the West Coast, and that is focused on digital solutions, but very focused on health solutions. So they've been very involved with COVID projects over the last number of months, as well as they do work in the data space. So they actually have a project, for example, in Ocean that is focused on wild fishery and data collection around reducing, I think I should know exactly what it's about, but essentially being able to reduce sort of poor practices. We've got the proteins cluster, which is based in the West. And so Canada is actually one of the only net exporters of food. And so that is looking at how to increase sort of the value added output from the agricultural sector in terms of being able to contribute to feeding the world today and in the future. Then you've got next generation manufacturing. So that's really looking at bringing advanced solutions to manufacturers in Canada. And they have also been very involved with COVID and PPE and really coming to the providing solutions to increasing our PPE output, which was a huge concern at the beginning of COVID. And then the other one other than us is Scale AI, which is based in Quebec, and they are focused on bringing artificial intelligence solutions to supply chain.
So when you're talking about having a reach across the country, that doesn't mean only Western companies can participate in digital, or Scale AI digital solutions can only be in Montreal. Talk to us about how you're trying to bring the whole country behind these strategies.
Absolutely. So, if you look at Ocean, we have obviously three coasts. We have the longest coastline in the world, west, east, and north. And if you look at companies, we actually very early on in our mandate developed an ocean asset map, which actually looked at our ocean companies all across and organizations all across Canada. We have over 3,000 on that map that sits on our website, and they are from west to east. And so we're from east to west, north to south. And so, when you look at these projects, we are increasingly seeing collaborations happening from players across the country, which is incredibly exciting. And that's for all the superclusters. There's none of the superclusters that are as geographically specific as perhaps they were first established.
So how did the Ocean supercluster get picked? I don't know if people are sitting around thinking about the ocean's economy. I know you're doing that and your team are doing that every day, but how do you think that one rose to the top and why?
Yeah. So, I think what made the business case for the Ocean supercluster unique, it's not the first ocean investment in Canada, but it actually brought together sectors in a way that they had never come together before. And so it was built on a business case of addressing shared challenges. And so what I mean by that is when conversations were held with shipping, aquaculture, or offshore oil and gas, fisheries, bioresources, and you actually look at a lot of the challenges of doing business in the ocean, there were several that they had in common. So the cost and risk of doing business in the ocean, you don't have the same infrastructure as you do on land. Obviously, the safety concerns that we see in Atlantic Canada in terms of being on the ocean and under the ocean, in terms of reach, so global reach around being able to attract investments. So you look at ocean, we're a fairly export-oriented sector compared to maybe some of the other Canadian sectors. So both attracting investment as well as identifying new markets. When you look at capacity challenges and workforce of the future, so as we talk about automating more traditional industries in ocean, how do we attract that new worker? What does that new worker look like? How do we get them interested across sectors? As well as just connection across Canada. So how do we know what we know? 75% of, certainly at the time of the business case, 75% of the ocean economy was in Atlantic Canada. So it made sense for Atlantic Canada to play a leadership role. But if you look at things that are happening on the West Coast, they've got a huge project right now to develop an innovation hub in Victoria. And that is sponsored by the mayor. There's lots of amazing things happening across the country. And so how do we learn from those things and build on them and not replicate effort?
So it's being led out of the East Coast. How did that materialize? That's pretty exciting for us here, Atlantic Canadians.
Yeah, it's truly where the density of the ocean economy is, right? So 75% of the ocean economy is in Atlantic Canada. So it made sense for us to be leaders with the ocean economy, the ocean supercluster. But we've always been, from the very beginning, we are Canada's ocean supercluster, and that was very intentional.
Sure. Tell us how you're organized to do this. You've got a team, you've got a board. Give us a little bit of the details so we can really understand how this is working.
Yeah, so the team now, we're up to almost 20 employees, and we're in 6 cities across all 4 provinces in Atlantic Canada. So we are a virtual organization, which maybe is not so novel these days, but early on, just kind of making that work so that we can be in all of the provinces was really important. Similarly, our board. So we have 15 on our board, and they are from all across Atlantic Canada as well. I mean, a supercluster is industry-led, so we have industry leaders from across several of the sectors that I mentioned that are all part of that board and take very seriously their commitment to growing the ocean economy. As one of my board members said, no pressure, but my children and grandchildren will only be able to stay here if you get this right. There's a huge commitment to being able to do this, and we're spread across the region.
One of our members is on your board, Jeff Flood, with MMP. And he's been a part of Tech Impact for many, many years. So he keeps us informed, too, of what's going on there, which is fabulous to have those connections back into the community. Talk to us about your operating model, because I know you have a membership model, and it would be really great for people to understand how that operates.
Yeah, so we do have a membership model, and you can find information on our members on our website. We have 2 types of memberships. So we have our industry members, and our industry members that are those that invest in projects. So they're actually looking for matching dollars. And then we have our associate members. So the large percentage of our members are actually associate members, and associate members' membership is free. And so that all sort of contributes to the overall membership. It's one membership agreement, but sort of 2 types of membership. The way the industry members work is, as part of getting the match, they make a contribution back to growing the ecosystem, which is fundamentally what we're trying to do. And then the associate members have access to all of our sort of membership tools.
So when it's time to think about some of these players coming together, how do projects get formed? How do these relationships get connected? Because you're connecting tech companies, perhaps, to global fishing organizations or oil and gas companies. It's really a complex ecosystem.
Yeah, so it is interesting how many of the projects, when they tell the story of how they came together at a bar. So just chatting about an idea. So the supercluster has really allowed people to connect and learn in ways that they perhaps haven't before and be exposed to companies. So, you know, we hear about larger companies having the opportunity to meet smaller ocean tech companies, you know, Nova Scotia companies meeting Newfoundland companies meeting Nova Scotia companies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's where it starts. It's a conversation, right? What is a problem I'm trying to solve? What is a solution you have? Oh, that sounds interesting to me. We do have a platform as well. So we have a member portal, and you can sort of more formally share, you know, what it is that you're interested in. People can respond to you. But in a lot of cases, it's conversation. And even now in our virtual world with our events, we make sure that we have technology that allows round tables and one-on-one connections to be able to keep trying to, you know, simulate those in-person conversations as much as possible.
So if I'm a tech company with an idea that I've been doing it in another industry, and I think, geez, you know, oceans are trying to solve this same sort of remote training or maintenance for equipment, proactive maintenance, I've got an idea. How can I start to become connected with some people in this ocean supercluster? Because it probably would feel pretty daunting if my solution, I've always been doing it in a certain industry, and I think, I know it can work. How do I get in?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I mean, I think we've seen companies with an idea that have joined as members. And so our recent member event, we had new companies that actually presented. So they had virtual booths, and that actually generated opportunities for them because people came along and asked questions about what it was that they were trying to do. We've had our members present, so you have the opportunity to pitch an idea as part of our events to the rest of the membership. So if that's of interest to them, they're able to reach out to you. We've also had companies sort of look through the membership list, and if there's a company that they recognize, this is Atlantic Canada. So in a lot of cases, there's a connection or two. And so just starting that way through the membership in terms of starting the conversation or providing an introduction. Again, you know, we make sure both sides are interested in having the conversation, then we can connect them up.
These aren't projects that are happening overnight.
No.
This is about having a long-term impact. So, you know, I think what's interesting about that model is bringing some of the younger companies along, and it could become a real patch because you want to work on commercializing solutions. You're not doing a bunch of research for research's sake, even though that's really important too, to innovation, and we support it. But you're really about commercialization. Do you want to talk about that business philosophy you're running with?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we are focused on commercial outcomes. So I talked about Canada having a challenge from an innovation perspective. Canada also has a challenge when it comes to commercial outcomes. So we have world-class research. And I think, you know, you don't have to look very far around Atlantic Canada to be able to find world-class research, you know, from a New Brunswick perspective in the University of New Brunswick, you know, all of our Atlantic universities, of which we have many. But we don't commercialize it. We don't get it out of the labs. We also have lots of great research in government, right? And in government labs. And where we seem to fall down is actually commercializing that research. So getting it out into market and being able to sort of develop products and make money. And so, you know, that is the focus of the cluster, is really being able to grow the economy. And so the projects that we're looking at on the, what we call our technology leadership side, they have to be able to articulate what is their market, you know, how much do they think they're going to be able to sell, what is their commercialization strategy for that product. And in fact, on the ecosystem side, so we have two types of projects, technology leadership and then what we call ecosystem development or innovation ecosystem. One of our early projects there is the Ocean Startup Project, and that was innovative for Atlantic Canada because it was all four provinces working together. So we've got organizations from across Atlantic Canada and really looked at, you know, how do we get more ocean startups? So how do we make this the best place to start and grow an ocean business? But they also have a lab to market program. Their first cohort wrapped up yesterday, and that was really working with researchers to help them explore commercializing their research. And we have a second cohort that now is open for application. So that is definitely an area of focus for us.
And how do you feel about that? How's it going? You know, I can't say I wake up in the morning and I go, oh, I'm thinking about ocean startups. You know, you're bringing, my perspective, you're bringing a bunch of this into the mainstream. Pardon the pun there, but you really, truly are. That's what I get when I hear you.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think, so we live right in Atlantic Canada. So we probably think about ocean a little bit more. We see it. If you actually look at us compared to other countries, we have a relatively small percentage of our population that is on our coasts, right? So even though we are an ocean nation with the largest coastline and the fourth largest ocean territory in the world, we don't necessarily think about ourselves or identify with ourselves as an ocean nation. So that's one of the things that we're really trying to raise awareness, and we're seeing it. So you look at that startup project, they ran an ocean challenge. It was a global ocean challenge. It attracted 158 organizations from all around the world. And they've narrowed that down. The original intent was 10, and they've got 14 companies that have each been given $25,000 to further develop their idea. So that's incredibly exciting. And then we just launched CDL Ocean, which is a creative destruction lab. And they have a full core, their first full cohort of ocean companies, again, from all over the world. So we are attracting attention with the world-class assets we have here in Canada and in Atlantic Canada.
So you've got some tenants to these programs that you're running. You want multiple partners. So you're bringing together multiple companies, could be two, three, could be more, I suppose. They're all contributing both capital or human capital to the process. you're then attracting and providing a capital investment into these projects. You want them to be commercialized. So there's a path to that. Tell me about a little bit more of those tenets so that if I'm thinking about wanting to apply to some of these programs, what are the things that I need to have top of mind with my idea?
Sure. So, you know, we're trying to change the way ocean business is done. And beyond that, the Supercluster program overall is trying to change the way business is done. And collaboration is really at the foundation of that. So when you think about a cluster, that is bringing together government, your investment community, your small and your large business and academia, and have us sort of all working together in various ways. And that's what makes it really successful. So collaboration is at the heart of these projects. This is not about having a contractor, subcontractor, a relationship. This is about having multiple parties with skin in the game. And part of the reason that's important is when you look at Canada on the global stage, we tend to bring point solutions. And when you look at what internationally they're looking for, they're looking at more integrated solutions. So because we're a community of small business, really, from an Atlantic Canadian perspective, working together to build that world-class solution so we can go to market in a different way is what makes is part of what makes that collaboration story compelling. And it's really understanding that we're a small market and our competitors are not in the province next to us, right? It is really thinking about how we work together to compete with the rest of the world. So collaboration is incredibly important. That commercialization piece, which I talked about, so being able to articulate that commercialization plan, how your go-to-market strategy, being able to... The other piece that we look for in our projects is what we call an ecosystem contribution. So are you including underrepresented groups? Are you going to share data from your project beyond the project itself, for example? What sort of things are you doing to help us strengthen the overall ocean economy in terms of your project? And the other one that probably is really important is it's a co-investment. Right. So this is not this is really about investing together. So this is reducing your risk in making an innovation investment. But the expectation is it's an idea that you're willing to put money into. And we're then matching that investment to help you be able to realize that goal.
And I would think you're growing a whole group of new skills. You are skilling up in this process. So what's the talent component or tenet to some of this strategy that you're hoping to achieve?
Yeah, so there's probably two pieces to that. So there is within the projects themselves. So we've got lots of areas of interest that are in the technology space. So whether that's digital twin, whether that's autonomous vehicles, genomics, robotics. And so how do we build skills? I think not only within the project in terms of hires. So one of our early projects, for example, is the Ocean Vision Project. I think they're up over 40 hires for that project, and that's in the autonomous vehicle, underwater autonomous vehicle space. But that will have trickle-down effects, right, in terms of building up those skills. Digital twin is another area of interest, which is a growing area internationally. So we're building skills through the projects themselves. And then we also have on the ecosystem side, capacity building is an area of focus in terms of the ecosystem. So what are some of the skills that we need to be building? I mean, we're rethinking that a bit, obviously, with the impact of COVID and what that means for even existing workforce, let alone attracting, you know, international talent into market. But, you know, how do we build build capabilities? And very specifically, we just launched, for example, our Indigenous Career Pivot Pilot Project. Every time I say it.
It's a mouthful.
It is a bit of a mouthful, which you don't realize till you're actually announcing it for the first time. But it is focused on mid-career Indigenous, helping them to be able to pivot into careers in ocean. And how do we help them being able to do that? We have a number of our projects too that are engaged with MyTax. So MyTax helps students get involved in projects as well. So capacity building is part of the legacy of the supercluster, right? Is how do we build these skills that are relevant? And then how do those folks build more, right, beyond the life of the projects themselves?
I love that diversity, inclusion, and thinking about that in talent development is there. I'd love to go back to digital twin. Maybe you could explain what that is, because I think it's really fascinating and it's a I've been hearing about work on the digital twin for the Bay of Fundy. So that would just be an interesting point to share with our listeners.
Yeah, I feel like digital twin is a bit like innovation, or what are some of the other buzzwords where everyone has a slightly different explanation? So for me, digital twin is a virtual replica of an asset, right? So whether that is an offshore platform, whether that is a ship, whether that is an aquaculture pen, but it's some kind of replica that then allows you to get different information, allows you to be able to manipulate that virtually, allows you to do things like predictive maintenance, for example, because now you're working with that in that virtual environment, allows you to be able to move around virtually. So it is very important, the data that you can collect. So I was just at a UN Decade of Ocean. So we're heading into the UN Decade of Ocean. There was an Atlantic workshop, and they talked about a digital, could we within the next 10 years have a full digital twin of the ocean? So you would be able to go in and you'd be able to see fish movement, and you'd be able to see where all the ships are, and you'd be, because we would collect all that data, you know, and within 10 years we'd have so much data that we'd be able to have this digital twin or virtual replica of the ocean itself.
I mean, I'm sure there are days you and your team get proposals and you go, how is this even possible? Do you have those moments still?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of the ideas that we're seeing are incredibly exciting. So you look at Ocean Aware, for example, and so we announced that back in July. So that's a $29 million project. It's got 11 collaborators. You know, it's got, I think, five sectors. So they've got aquaculture, fishery, oil and gas, energy, and ocean technology. They've got small and large. You know, they've got Dalhousie and Memorial and DFO, and all coming together to look at making us a global leader in sensor technology. Like, that's incredibly exciting. And seeing all those sectors come together, like, that's really powerful. And we've got multiple examples of that.
So you said it a couple times, you know, innovation is this word that people often think is very nebulous and gray, and, you know, you're putting money into innovation. Are you going to get any tangible results out of it? Maybe you could share what your view on the kind of innovation that you're focused on, and, you know, start to share with our listeners some of the tangible results you're seeing already. You just talked about 40 people now working on a project. That's pretty tangible in terms of the impact that's having to our economy right now with having people working in this field. So love for you to help get rid of that myth of what innovation is and make it really tangible as it relates to the ocean.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think from our perspective, innovation is creating value. So it's very much tied to that commercial outcome piece. So are you creating a product that someone is going to buy? And that can be all kinds of different products, but that at its core is what we're doing. And then I think, you know, in terms of outcomes, I touched on a few of them. We're pretty early. So we approved 36 projects in the last 6 months. And all of those projects are through various stages. So I think we're at 42 projects overall. Only five of those have been announced. We're very focused on getting the rest of those kind of contracted and going. Ocean Vision has been around the longest, so it has the most outcomes. But I think what those projects are promising in terms of, you know, new products and new skills and new opportunities and the markets that they're focused on are globally relevant markets, right? So digital twin's a perfect example. That is a global opportunity. And there are several more of those where these projects are really accelerating Canada's access and relevance in those growth markets.
So what's your risk appetite? You're being charged now to really look at an innovation economy in the ocean. And some of this is got to be risky. That's the reality. So how do you use that as one of your measures and tenets for your projects?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So we have a project selection committee. We have so our projects go through a qualification round. So that's just basically if you have an idea, talk to us before you get too far, because we can help flesh that out. And then we have, when the proposal comes in, we have a technical assessment that sort of look at the overall technical components of the project. And also we've got international participants on that. So they tell us if it's something that's already being done, for example. And then we have our project selection committee, and then ultimately the board. So there's lots of folks that are kind of looking at that and really looking at, like any other return on investment analysis, right, in terms of the risk reward, and is the opportunity worth taking the risk? We are investing in innovation, so innovation has a risk component to it, but are you articulating enough of an opportunity that this is something that Canada should be taking, this public money, right? So is this something that we think is worth the opportunity to be able to invest in?
So do you think the global community has taken note that Canada is making this kind of investment in the ocean?
100%. I think in terms of the response we got to the Ocean Startup Project, in terms of the applications to the Creative Destruction Lab, in terms of the attendees at the events that we had a supercluster showcase of all the superclusters yesterday. We had lots of international participation. I think that the supercluster brand resonates internationally. One of the challenges, I think, with the ocean economy or Canada in general is we're hard to navigate, right? You need to know what province you want to deal with and where you want to go. And so this gives you a doorway into the entire Canadian ocean economy, and that just makes it easier to be able to reach out. But I think between, you know, the ocean supercluster, Cove in terms of the center of ocean ventures, in terms of now what's starting with the innovation hub on the West Coast, we talked about Creative Destruction Lab, like those are resonating on the international stage.
So let's talk about a couple of those, because we haven't really had an opportunity to talk about them yet. Tell us what the Creative Destruction Lab is at Halifax.
Yeah, so the Creative Destruction Lab in Halifax is part of a broader network of Creative Destruction Labs. So they really invest in, well, so they have a very specific program that deals with fairly early stage companies. And Jeff Larson can do a much better job of articulating it than I can. But essentially, they're working with early stage, and they have a very specific program in terms of mentoring those organizations and developing certain objectives and working them their way through a program, I think, that runs from about October to June. They've had to pivot like everyone else in terms of having now a virtual component to that. And so there's a whole series of mentors, both international and local. And then they have this cohort of companies that then sort of work together over that period to be able to help to grow and develop those organizations.
And what's happening at the Cove in Halifax, Dartmouth area?
Yeah, so the Center for Ocean Ventures, they just have a new CEO, actually Melanie Nadeau, and I think they are about 70 companies, but they're co-location, right? So they're in the old Coast Guard buildings in Dartmouth, and they've got a beautiful space, and you go in there and it's companies really being able to work in the same space. They've got water access, which is incredibly exciting for those companies. So they have just a compelling geographic story, but they also have programming that they do to be able to, they've got their connector events. They've got a capacity building program that actually runs across the country. So it's an exciting combination of sort of helping to grow the ocean economy, but also having a physical space where those companies are coming together and actually collaborate. So we're seeing from a supercluster perspective, collaborations that are coming from companies that are working together at Cove and developing project ideas.
And do you have ideas coming from, we'll just be a little selfish to talk about Atlantic Canada. Do you have ideas coming from companies and others throughout Atlantic Canada? Can we be doing more to get more from Atlantic Canada?
So yes, so we do. So we have, I think, still a significant number of our members are in Atlantic Canada, and a significant number of our ideas are coming from Atlantic Canada. I do think, from a New Brunswick perspective, for example, we've been pushing hard to be able to get more. I think there's a huge opportunity in New Brunswick to bring some of the cyber capability, right? So these are a lot of digital projects. And so there is a cyber component. So how do we kind of connect those up? I think one of the trips I was supposed to take just as this is COVID hit was to ship again, right? In terms of some of what's happening. And actually my very last trip was to New Brunswick. There was a connector event there. But I think that, you know, we're still getting the word out as much as we've got lots of participants. I think there is opportunity for more right across the region.
So we'll spend a minute talking about students. Do you think some of this might drive additional programming and curriculum at our post-secondary institutions here in Atlantic Canada, this focus on oceans?
So it might. I mean, I would say there's actually quite a bit already, right? If you look at whether it's the Marine Institute, whether it's Dalhousie, whether it's UMB, whether it's University of Moncton, in terms of UPEI, there is actually quite a bit. I think we need to continue to raise the awareness of the breadth of the opportunity for students. And I think help students that are not necessarily in a pure, because I think we think a lot about ocean as ocean science, right? And so if you're not thinking about being a marine biologist or an ocean engineer or a naval architect, you're not really thinking ocean. And in fact, ocean is digitizing like many other industries, right? And the skill sets you need to digitize the ocean are very different skill sets. So I think there's a huge opportunity for our tech companies around the region in terms of thinking about how they bring their technology to the ocean. And I think there's an incredible opportunity for students, right, of all disciplines to be able to bring those skill sets to the ocean. OTCNS, which is the Association in Nova Scotia, has a careers page that actually shows different careers in ocean and what the salaries are and what the opportunities are and what a path in those careers could look like. And so I think there's just a lot of work to be done to raise the awareness around the opportunities.
It's interesting how this whole digital conversation and digital transformation needs to happen in all of our traditional industries. But you're right. As soon as you said that, Kendra, I thought, I think of ocean science first and foremost. You know, I think of St. Andrews. I think of UMB and the marine biology program. But I think marine biology first. Mm-hmm. I don't think marine technology or some of those components first. So, you know, just having you talk about that is important and helping us raise that awareness. How can I get involved if I'm a university or a college student?
Yeah, so I mean, you could certainly take a look at, I mean, a couple of those programs that I talked about. So whether it's the startup program, the lab to market, check out obviously the website, understanding what's going on, right? So I mean, you touched on whether it's Huntsman, whether it's Force, whether it's the various activities. Check out the association. So I mentioned OTCNS. You've got Oceans Advance. You've got ABCMI on the West Coast, so there's lots of information there. But it's really just being able to understand, figure out what's happening and connect into several of those resources. I did write a whole list. I'm trying to think about it. But anyway, those are...
That's a lot.
Yes. And take a look at the companies too, I guess, is the other thing I would say, right? So we've got some really interesting companies across the region that are doing amazing things. So just understanding what those are and whether that's an area of interest for you.
So I suppose you're really operating like a startup yourself, aren't you?
Yes. Yes. A startup with government oversight and a 15-person board.
Yes. With a lot of cash that you want to commercialize while you're trying to scale your operations, get contracts in place to enable this work to get done. That's a big task. So let's kind of finish off our last little section here. Obviously, your team is giving it their all right now. So we know these projects take time. So let's picture 10 to 15 years out. How will you be able to sit back and say, that strategy was a success? And I'm sure you're going to see results before then, but that magnification of the impact on a global scale, what's your vision?
Yeah, so I think, seeing the change in culture that we're trying to drive stick, right? So if I imagine 10 to 15 years out, that we're really working together as a country, that we're thinking about global opportunities, that we're at all the tables, right? So Canada is viewed as a leader internationally, and there's not a key ocean conversation that would happen around the world that Canada wouldn't be a part of, I think would be a big part of that. I think seeing our sectors continue to work together, right, and thinking about cross-sectoral opportunities, I think all of those are, and we've grown. We've grown the ocean economy. That's
probably right, of course.
Right. So we're a key part. And I think that we are leaders. We may not be leaders in all spaces, but I think there's some really key, interesting places where we can lead, and where hopefully investments today in things like a digital twin, or I think clean tech, I think Canada's, got a huge opportunity in terms of the clean tech opportunity and what that means. Because, I mean, we've talked a lot about commercialization, but just the amount of pressure that the ocean is under. So 10 to 15 years from now, I'd love to see us, have a clearer strategy around protecting the environment and that balance of production and protection that we're working on now. So, I think growth, sustainable growth, would be also a key part of that. So changing a culture that sticks.
Well, and so much so, to have a culture of innovation, it starts from within all of these organizations. So you're really trying to think about that culture for a country with a focus on oceans. That's not a little task, Kendra. I know you're up for it. I know your team is up for it. I think it would be awful interesting to play this conversation again in 10 years to be thinking about ourselves on a global stage, because I think that's where we need to be thinking all the time. So I expect, as part of your role, you're really accountable for those global connectivity and that point, that focus on global connectivity. Would that be correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we've been very focused on making sure we've got a story to tell, so that as we go prime time around the globe, there's lots of interest, and obviously global connectivity looks a little bit different at the moment, but it's creating those global opportunities. And if you look at Canada, and just overall Canada and trade, and thinking about broadening out our relationships and how dependent the ocean economy is on global relationships, I think that is a key part of our role for sure.
Well, we thank you for the work that you're doing, for shedding kind of the light on what this is all about. It's got big targets. We'll be back to talk more about what you are achieving in another year or two. It would be great to do that some more. And I can't thank you enough for bringing this conversation to Tech Talks today.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks so much.
That episode was filled with a wealth of information about the Canadian Supercluster program, but in particular, the Ocean Supercluster. While we dove into the deep end of the Ocean Supercluster, pardon the pun, be sure to check out the others: digital technologies, protein industries, advanced manufacturing, and scale AI. There is lots of information online. The Supercluster strategy is addressing our innovation scorecard and driving growth in critical sectors of our economy. Make no mistake, growth is the desired outcome. As Kendra mentioned, Canada has the longest coastline in the world, and this Ocean Supercluster is seeing collaboration from coast to coast to coast. There are shared challenges for us to work on, from safety, reach, export, workforce skills of the future, managing cost and risk, connectivity, and more. This team of 20 employees and the board is a virtual organization, and they have an exciting task ahead to drive investment and innovation that can be commercialized. The goal is commercializing outcomes. And if you listen to our episode on innovation with Jeff White and Malcolm Fraser, we talked about the same outcome. It's what drives so much of their work at InnovaCorp and MBIF. Canada is an oceans nation, and the tenets of this program is collaboration, multiple parties engaged in every project, go to market in new ways, contributing to the overall ecosystem with data for others to benefit from, co-investment strategies, and ultimately changing the way we operate, work, harvest from, and manage our oceans economy. The projects are varied, as Kendra discussed, like the digital twin, and there are many ways to get engaged. The team are approving projects regularly, with many more to come, and the world is taking note. This investment is already having an impact on Canada's brand on the global stage, and Kendra and her team intend to leave a lasting impact on the world's ocean economy and what role Canada is playing with all of the many partners involved. Now is a perfect time to look at our ocean's economy and where you could fit in a project or what skills you can contribute. I loved how Kendra talked about the balance of production and protection. Canada is here to be a leader on the global stage and drive innovative solutions as a result. Thank you, Kendra, for sharing your passion, and we are excited to see more Atlantic Canadian leaders in the ocean economy growing and driving change in how we keep that balance in mind. Be sure to check out our Tech Impact blog later in the week, where we'll be posting show notes and further thoughts on what we learned through this episode. You can find that at techimpact.it. See you soon.
Tech Talks is brought to you by Tech Impact. Learn more at techimpact.it. The podcast is hosted by Tech Impact CEO Kathy Simpson. It's produced by me, Matt George. It's engineered by the great Zachary Peltier and is part of the Unsettled Media Podcast Network.